What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Patriot Power Hour. It's episode 157, October 19th, 2021. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters here with my co-host, Future Dan. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing okay, man. I mean, Bitcoin's kicking ass tonight. Above $64,000. That's the $64,000 answer to the banksters. But there's so much other bad stuff going on, unfortunately, that it's a wash.
What's the all-time high right now?
The all-time high is 64,800, and we're at 64,300. 64,800 was last April, so we're closing back in.
We're going to break an April 2021 all-time high.
Don't jinx it.
Potentially during the show tonight.
Potentially. It just
within
touched
reach.
Yeah, it just touched $64,500. 15 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, while we were prepping a little bit. Of course, today was actually the launch of the ETF. More than $1 billion traded on the first day of the Bitcoin ETF. But I don't even need that ETF, and neither do you. You can get your own Bitcoin that you control in your custody. That's the whole point of it. Why buy it through Wall Street? But hey, Wall Street money's good as money as any, I guess, so bring it on.
Some people need to know what an exchange-traded fund is, so maybe recap that.
So the SEC, our good old friends at the Securities and Exchange Commission, they approved
an ETF, which is
an exchange-traded fund, and it gives the ability for funds to be aggregated under an asset manager to, well, in some cases, invest in all different types of asset classes, but in other cases, one commodity. So SLV is silver. Obviously, you have oil as well, ETFs. And it usually tracks the price of the commodity. It's not owning the commodity itself, but it's a tool to exactly. It's indexed.
So how is this ETF indexed to Bitcoin?
I didn't watch the specifics enough because it's too much of a scam to me. Because if you don't own the keys, then you don't own your Bitcoin. But they do custody some actual Bitcoin. I know that.
And you can buy a piece of equity in this ETF now.
Right. Now, the big reason, the reason that is big news is because there's so many pension funds and 401ks and all different types of money that is restricted by either law, regulatory law, or its own covenants and bylaws and requirements of its own charter to only invest in certain levels or types of funds. So they could not go out and buy Bitcoin, but now that there's an ETF, they can get exposure to it within, you know, the restrictions. And that just opens a door to tens of trillions of dollars of money worldwide.
Did the SEC really have no choice? Did this ETF for Bitcoin, you know, just follow the laws and file properly? And, you know, it was just, they couldn't stop them because it seems to be contrary to recent news where this administration would like to dramatically curtail cryptocurrency.
Well, I think that's a perfect question. That just shows that they consider Bitcoin a commodity and an asset, not a security. And so, and that's a big difference between the other cryptocurrencies out there. Those are not seen as hard assets, as property. They're seen as securities, as almost some sort of scheme. Hard, but
the cryptocurrencies are all, at the end of the day, currencies as well. Sovereign, insofar as no sovereign nation controls their quantity or value.
Yeah, but Bitcoin, a favorite saying of Bitcoiners is that there is no marketing department for Bitcoin. Every other, whether it's Ethereum, whether it's Dogecoin, all those other shit coins as we call them, they have actual corporations that control them. Bitcoin is not owned by any corporation or person. It is a distributed network. That's the difference. And that's why it's seen as a commodity, just like oil.
Do you believe it's a commodity, or do you believe it's its own non-governmental currency?
Well, some people would call it money, digital gold. Now, that could be a little bit of a stretch. And I know we're getting deep into the Bitcoin philosophy on Prepper Broadcast Network. Some
that's
people,
okay. We talked about it before, and it could hit a high tonight.
Yeah.
And it's symptomatic of other things that we all have to be paying attention to. So it's worthy of discussion. Sometimes breaking down the mechanics and, you know, making clear the difference between, you know, some of these coins that are not anything like a distributed ledger technology and, you know, the real deals, which include Bitcoin and Ethereum and a handful of others, right? Litecoin.
Well, only Bitcoin is... Well, okay.
There's miners for those others.
Litecoin and a couple others, you could say, have some of the same scarcity and other important features of Bitcoin, but really all the others are knockoffs of Bitcoin. Bitcoin truly was the first mover, has the first mover advantage, but a lot of folks have said pretty much all the other coins out there were only developed to try to get your Bitcoin.
Yeah,
maybe that's an extremist view, but I've essentially held that view, and it's worked out well for me.
Right. Yeah, it was like a market forming around a class of assets that, you know, it may turn out like social media and, you know, telecommunications, cellular phone technologies, and, you know, operating systems of computers, that it just gravitates to a two pole, at best a three pole, you know, miniverse of, you know, oligopolistic market behavior, right? So, you know, there's only room for one of these things, really. It's Bitcoin. The other two or three are going to fade like, you know, Betamax from VHS, right?
And they're trying to find their niche and try to... And actually, Ethereum has moved, to get really nerdy, Ethereum has moved away from proof of work to proof of stake. Let's just say that makes it just as shady as the fiat currency of today. They can inflate that away at any point in time. Bitcoin is 110% locked away in the algorithm to not inflate, not be printed like US dollars and others, but actually deflate. The supply is cut in half every 4 years. Imagine if the gold supply coming out of the ground or the silver supply every 4 years was cut in half for 150 plus years until then there was never, ever going to be any more.
What year is no more Bitcoin able to be mined, when it's, you know, the entire blockchain is, I don't know, what would you call it, solved, and it's out there. The day does come, but it's not for decades.
It's 2100 something and another, some of it's in change, but the network can still function with transactions at that point. So, but there would be no more mining at least in the year 2100 something or other. Well, so pretty
entire,
far from
the
now.
Entire thing. Is how many years old? 8, 9?
I believe 2009. January 2009 is when the Genesis block. Oh, I want to cap off by saying this. Go look it up for yourself. This is 100% true. In the Genesis block, they are referring to the IMF bailouts in Europe going on at that time. So Bitcoin was specifically put together as an anti-bankster weapon. In the code of the first block, Satoshi put in there. I don't have the exact quote, but essentially just
whatever debt you're doing is unsustainable. It was that fiat currencies can't last now that you've done this.
Exactly. It was like a headline. It was like a headline like we're going to do on the Future Danger. I did not know that. A little bit about the IMF bailout, like second stage bailout begins or something like that.
It's quite a phenomenon. It might hit its high tonight. We don't see, you know, stark raving mad other economic news. It's all a lot of not good news, but nothing crisis level tonight. So it, you know, this cryptocurrency continues to move, sometimes disconnected from anything else, seemingly. You know, prognosticating why it's rising, why it's dropping is with the levels of privacy it affords is incredibly hard. So it's this giant thing in an alternative dimension of our economy that's constantly running, and it's been stereotyped and it's been denigrated, but it still does things with massive amounts of wealth on a daily basis that seems to say the rest of the system isn't stable.
Well, there's at least two major, they call it FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Two pieces that are totally off the table now. One, China controls the majority of the mining. Therefore, it's centralized in China and they can hold it by the balls. They banned it. Almost all the mining is out of China. A lot of it came to Canada and America. That's gone. This time last year, that was a big piece of FUD. The other, the U.S. government is going to ban Bitcoin. No, the SEC set up an ETF.
They would have if they could have. So now, I think they've studied it long enough. Yeah.
Now the long, very long-term question is how is this going to be manipulated by the state, if at all possible? And is there that off chance that the CIA put this all together long ago? I don't really think so. Anything's possible, so always diversify is my advice on that. But
high-performance computing could thwart the blockchain if it ever got powerful enough. That's the real question. It's an arms race on whether any government can actually disrupt the integrity of the blockchain. And if they did that and prices didn't match, the entire thing would fall apart in an instant because no one would, in any country could trust that anything they had in there was going to, you know, not collapse, right? It's the integrity and immutableness of the blockchain, you know, entirely, we think, outside of the control of any government that gives it its value. Does it not?
In my opinion, the only way they could take it down is if they took down the entire internet. And they could take down the whole internet, so they could do it.
Right, but they'd have to bring it up again someday too.
Yeah, and all that stuff would be stored and ready to rock and keep going. In a weird way, I think this is actually a good analogy. You know, Napster and all the peer-to-peer music sharing, or trying to watch illegal NFL or fighting streams, you know. I don't do that stuff. But let's just say ever since Napster came out, you could find unlimited free movies and music easily and never get in trouble. Well, what if billions upon billions of dollars were spent by the miners to keep that system going at every end of the earth simultaneously? They'll never be able to take that system down unless they destroy the system, which they may do.
They could ban all private devices, all private networks, all you know, non-governmental controlled airwaves, any you know, and bring it down with EMP or a kill switch, and when they bring it back up, nothing that used to connect to what is becomes the internet exists anymore. And
now that's then, very possible.
Then try to get your Bitcoin out of a underground black market, unauthorized, non-worldwide web. They got to fracture and destroy the first worldwide web and bring about a second worldwide web. Entirely controlled. And how do they do that and centralize it? They can't. There's lots of nations that won't participate.
They may need just a total cyber attack, destruction of the internet, either as a false flag or from actual warfare, which someone argues almost impossible to do itself. But no, I think that is the level it would have to go to totally extinguish it. We got a lot more to talk about. We do got to go to break. We're coming back with the News Blitz. Follow along, futuredanger.com. Futuredanger.com for the News Blitz. Talk a lot of other topics, and we got a book review this week. Stay with us.
The situation around Syracuse is one of utter devastation. Just like the other nuked cities, the danger area of highest contamination extends out 20 miles from the blast zone. All the communities immediately around the city have major problems. There is a mandatory evacuation order for the city itself and some of the immediate surrounding areas. They are testing the water, air, and soil constantly for contamination. This excerpt is from the book titled The Prepper. Part 1, The Collapse, by Carl A.D. Brown. Go to Amazon.com today and explore one family's journey through the collapse. Again, The Prepper, by Carl A.D. Brown.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network. So are you ready to rock? Well, don't ever stop. We are on a crash course of freedom and we can go as long as we want.
Patriot Power Hour. Time for that News Blitz, October 19th, 2021. First plug, go to futuredanger.com. Check out the podcast archive. Every single episode, almost all of them with show descriptions, but maybe not every single one. Futuredanger.com. News Blitz. Let's start on the first column. Liberty related. Federal bill emerging to force additional information from bank accounts with more than 10,000 in annual deposits or withdrawals. With that inflation, 10,000 is not going to be much in the near future. Connecticut producer of halal certified frozen and shelf stable meals says people are hoarding. Prices are going to be going up. Woman finds Amazon has thousands of recordings of her from her home devices. FBI not tracking domestic terrorism by Antifa or BLM. For 105 days, COVID-19's death toll in Florida counties went missing. Looking at this data manipulation, just one of many articles I've seen the last year. Of the COVID-19 stats. Here's the latest one. Let's move on. Second column. Illegal aliens increasingly entering California through the coast. North Korea confirms submarine launch of ballistic missile. That was just today, I believe. White House may order National Guard to address mounting supply chain backlog. This in addition to what we discussed previously. Medical positions being filled. National Guard and others as well. Former CIA director and Secretary of State warns of Chinese agents infiltrating U.S. state and local governments. 750,000 video cameras in the United States made by Chinese state-owned manufacturer Hikvision. And then a swarm of FBI agents swarming the Washington home of Russian oligarch. We have several low-level, not actualized, but really pent up energy is how I put it. Articles here related to China, Taiwan, but also in the Middle East and with Russia. The U.S. ambassador says the U.S. has no defense against the Chinese hypersonic missiles. a nuke-capable, if you didn't see the news, nuke-capable 21,000-mile-per-hour missile, essentially a satellite with a nuclear warhead on it, was launched, allegedly. Chinese state media certainly celebrating, can circle the Earth in low orbit before striking anywhere in space within minutes. Taiwan, of course, we talked a lot about that last week. Go back and listen to last week's show if you want to get more into that. But China sets sights on Taiwan with new hypersonic missile tests. Moving on to Russia, though, suspending its mission to NATO. We've seen a lot of small and large diplomatic ties being cut with the West. A lot of the progress that made last 20 years undone. Israel accused of sniping Syrian Druze official across the border. Pretty low level, though. Moving on, economics. We've hit a lot of Bitcoin today, but there's a lot of other inflation going on. 5.4% is the official gain year over year. I've always said at least double that. Winter heating bills set to jump as inflation hits home. Not just food, but now heating bills, gasoline, etc. going on up. Serious financial problems afflict 40% of American households. Meanwhile, half of Americans made $35,000 or less last year. Ironically, the Great Resignation picking up speed. I don't think all these people own Bitcoin, so there's something else going on behind it. And really, it all comes down to not just labor shortages and not just energy crunch, but a myriad of other problems, political and otherwise, and some of just bad government programs. All of this combining, making supply chain problems worse. Great article here. You should go check out how these all play in. The world faces fiscal problems much worse than those from COVID, says 38-member Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Just actually coming out and saying what I believe is the truth. The fiscal problems, in the aggregate, bigger problem than COVID. Moving on, the middle 60% of American households now have smaller share of national wealth than the top 1%, that vaunted middle class, not so wealthy anymore. New York Attorney General orders two cryptocurrency lending platforms to cease activity. Let me go make sure that's not one of mine. Just kidding. Be careful. Those exchanges can be hacked or regulated, but not Bitcoin itself, in my opinion. Let's go on. Fourth and final column. We're seeing a little bit of delays in answering 911 calls in Denver and other areas. But let's get on to what we've been just had to talk about pretty much the last couple of years at this point, almost, especially, well, with the vaccination a little more recently, I guess. But just COVID in general. Tons of vaccination news here, actually. Why are different nations having deadlier outbreaks with the same vaccines? Fully vaccinated former Secretary of State dies due to complications from COVID and cancer. Vaccine effectiveness, -109%. That's pretty crazy. Infection rate in the vaccinated people in their 40s, more than double than unvaccinated. Yes, you're actually more likely, at least on that study. Another study, no discernible relationship between vaccine status and COVID cases. Infection rate may be higher among fully vaccinated. Moving to Waterford, Ireland. 99.7% of adults are fully vaccinated, but they're seeing a COVID surge. This is the same in many areas, Gibraltar, Singapore, several other areas that are like 90-plus percent vaccinated. and they're seeing huge surges for some reason. Now, how this is being forced upon the people. New York City judge prevents unvaccinated father from visiting daughter. Navy to discharge sailors for refusing COVID-19 vaccination without an exemption. No exemptions being given. Federal government threatened to make Navy SEALs resisting the vax mandate repay their training costs. And some folks fighting back even in California. Parents keep students home to protest the vaccine mandate. Maybe should do like Dave Jones did. Start homeschooling. He said COVID pushed them over the edge and he loved it. A new, cheaper form of meth wreaking havoc on America. Jeez. Shallow earthquakes, a little bit of drought in California, nothing too crazy. Japanese health ministry urges preparations for a sixth COVID wave. At least 26 dead in floods and landslides in India. No signs that the La Palma volcanic eruption is going to end. And to wrap it all up, five main theories on achieving immortality as scientists say we could live 1,000 years. Seems a little outlandish to me. But I know Bill Gates and friends are searching for that 1,000 years if they can get it. Got to get rid of a lot of us first, though. What do you say, Future Dan?
Which one of those articles is the hardest for you to believe?
Living to 1,000 years is a little over the top.
Scientists saying that we could is par for the course in 2021. That's your science today.
Hardest to believe, or like I believe it and it's the worst news?
White House may order National Guard to address mounting supply chain backlog. For the Democrats to call out the National Guard to fix economic woes is dystopic. What states would actually use their guards that way? Well, Democrat states, right? Like, governors can resist, you know, orders from the National Guard Bureau and do it. It happens regularly in the minor way. And it has in the past in larger ways. When Reagan tried to send National Guard troops to Central America, there were, and there's other instances. But just discussing calling out the guard to solve, you know, the supply chain woes, which are so multifaceted. And the big piece of why the Great Resignation is underway, and why, you know, supply chains are failing. How much does that contribute directly to vaccine mandates?
Oh, a good portion of it. It is a myriad of things, but that's a top three reason for sure.
And the others are?
Backlog and just overall trade war with China. And, well,
inflation,
probably the top
help.
Two.
Fuel prices and energy prices. It's an energy crisis worldwide right now.
Yeah. I don't know how these folks, all these people are quitting their jobs, and there's so many openings, but also, you know, they can't find people. I know the welfare state has expanded a lot, but maybe not that much. Maybe they're living off their savings for a little while and they're going to regret that. But,
well, the number's like 20 million in the United States since April, but of those 20 million, how many have been hired and quit again 12 times this past summer? I don't think it's 20 million separate people resigned since April. But
that's a good point.
The willingness of formerly known as blue-collar workers to just walk away from work is, you know, that's a cultural shift.
Yeah, systemic problems going on there all around. So, yeah. Supply chain is only going to get worse. We've been saying that over and over. Inflation and supply chain. Get by your preps now.
Hey, let's just scroll through all the red indicators that are economic right now. Federal government to debt to GDP ratio, 125%. We got inflation, consumer price index, CPI quarterly in the last quarter, up 2.33%. We got keep on going. We're red hot on gasoline per gallon daily average in the United States at $3.34. And with that, of course, is diesel, which is on the heat map right here, $3.67 a gallon. Gold, of course, riding in the high red zone. You may own gold, that's good for you, but it is an indicator of the fiat system under stress at $17.69 tonight. So the majority of the economic gauges on future danger are not red, but those are your red ones for today, and no sign of the ones that are in the red from, you know, ceasing to be by next week.
Right, and when the economic collapse happens, it's going to happen overnight. I think today is the 34th anniversary of Black Monday, 1987. Market dropped 20% in one day. I expect something similar. Now the question is, what kind of manipulation will they do, and have they done, whether it's the plunge protection team, whether it's the circuit breakers, all that. I still expect things to get pretty rough economically in the long run. So once a couple more of these indicators break, I expect all of them to fall down, to be honest.
It's nothing... really showing up hot red tonight or black on red. But again, just this creeping feeling that we have on Patriot Power Hour, Ben and I, that this fall could see some historical pivot points that all Patriots out there have to be aware of. They have to know what happened and why it happened, when it happened, so they can speak to their family and friends and understand it and shape opinion early before getting caught in some reset that 5 years from now you're waking up to.
Perfectly said, sir. We're going to break. We'll be right back. Got some more information to cover. And then again, we're getting to that book review in the second part of the second half of the show. So stick with us. Patriot Power Hour.
Americans are still not protected against COVID-19. And we are seeing more infections among those who are unvaccinated. I issued a Surgeon General's advisory on the dangers of health misinformation. Surgeon General advisories are reserved for urgent public health threats. The bass and the tweeters make the speakers go to war. Misinformation poses an imminent and insidious threat to our nation's health. The mighty trumpet brings the freaks out to the floor. Health misinformation is false, inaccurate, or misleading information about health. The bass and the tweeters make the speakers go to war. Misinformation takes away our freedom. The mighty trumpet brings the freaks out to the floor. Misinformation has led people to resist wearing masks. What we call disinformation. We need an all of society approach. Checking sources before they share. Tell me where the freaks at. If you're not sure, don't share. Today, the Rockefeller Foundation is announcing a $13.5 million commitment. This is just the beginning. We expect more from our technology companies. We get that base dumping, people jumping all over the world. Take action against misinformation super spreaders. Got that freak flow, freak show. Welcome to the circus. Bringing individuals and organizations together. Let the leaders lead, preachers preach. Welcome to the circus. Nearly every death we are seeing now from COVID-19 could have been prevented. Did we do this for a purpose just to keep that fire burning? Kids are depending on all of us to get vaccinated. And we don't need no water, let that mother burn. There are more and more patients with COVID-19 who never got vaccinated. Till we play your trumpet, let the people go berserk. because they were misled by misinformation. Healthier information environment. There is disinformation that is coming from bad actors. Not sharing is caring. Misinformation literally costing us our loved ones. Technology companies have a particularly important role. Much more has to be done, and we can't wait. It's costing people their lives.
We are in regular touch with these social media platforms. We've increased disinformation research and tracking. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook. We're helping get trusted content out there. COVID Community Court. Robust enforcement strategy. Information travels quite quickly on social media platforms. Information spreads too quickly. We have empowered, engaged, funded local voices to combat misinformation that's traveling online or traveling, unfortunately, out of the mouths of elected officials.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour. We're back for the second half of the show. Where the freaks at? They're in D.C., but they're all over the place. Everywhere. They're at your local shopping mall, the local Karen.
Everywhere.
The local Democrat, capital D. That's where the freaks are at. All right. A couple more articles to talk about, then we're going to get into the book review. Real quick, we had actually covered the proposal a couple weeks ago, maybe I did when I did one of my solo shows, because I remember the totally obnoxious $600 level for 600. If you have a bank account with $600 of transactions, they were going to monitor it. Well, we went over the headline and I dug a little deeper. Guess what? It's been moved to $10,000. But this is still such an affront to freedom and security of your papers, virtual or otherwise. It's pathetic. But I wanted to really quick go to this quote from the commissioner of the IRS under both Obama and Trump. Perfect example of the deep state. He says, quote, "I don't know why they thought $600 would be a good number. $10,000. Definitely an improvement. You know, maybe even 50,000. The vast majority of people won't be affected, but it'll pick up more than just the idle rich. So, yeah, $600 is just a little too oppressive. So, $10,000. But remember, this is a bank account with $10,000 of transactions in the year. That could equal 5,000 deposit, 5,000 withdrawal. That's 10 grand right there. All of a sudden, you're on the government watch list. I mean, Future Dan, this is pretty pathetic, almost as pathetic as the fact that the former Federal Reserve chairperson, Yellen, is now our Treasury Secretary, who is all about this, her lackey for Biden. So, I mean, what do you think about this? Why does IRS have a constitutional right to do this?
Federal agencies don't have rights. You baffled me on that question.
Yeah, well, where were they expressly given this duty?
They're trying to get it in this bill. It would be federal code. It would be law. passed by.
Yeah, but isn't that superseded by Bill of Rights or not?
It has superseded the Fourth Amendment for how many years since we have income tax in this country?
Well, that's where this whole sovereign citizen thing comes in. Of course, they'll come in and shoot you if you don't pay your taxes. But the IRS is, in my opinion, a total fraud on its face, and this is just a bigger example.
I don't know if fraud's the right word. It's a police agency that's searching us. Any bank account with I don't care if it's $10,000 or $600 is, you know, and the Overton window was set previously over decades so that the wealthy only had their accounts surveilled, right? So I remember a Tony Soprano's episode where he had all, you know, many, many, many bank accounts all with less than $10,000 precisely for the reason that it wasn't monitored below that level. Or wouldn't it be admissible even if the feds were monitoring it, right? So, you know, evil begets tyranny. And obviously, you know, the Overton window has shifted so far in the 100-plus years of the income tax in this country that, you know, now with a unified Democrat government, they're just going to go for it. Any concept of, you know, to be secure in your papers, your effects, which should have always included wealth, is long gone. The right way to approach this is to say during that reset, this kind of surveillance of wealth is, you know, it's going to take an additional constitutional provisions to, you know, reset what privacy means in your, you know, in your in terms of your person, papers, and effects.
Yeah, well, I think it's, I don't even think that needs to be done. Maybe they need to bring in more language to include the digital sphere, but I think it's pretty clear that there's multiple reasons why this should just be invalid on the face of it. But yeah, as you said, they don't really care what's actually, you know.
Isn't the ledger of your bank account papers
exactly
afforded protection under the Fourth Amendment?
Yeah. Should be.
Am I like the only guy in the history of the country saying, hey, none of this is legitimate from the get-go?
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Well, they're going to make it worse. They sure as heck are trying. And they're doing it in the open in a non-crisis period. This is the type of thing that's getting beta tested where Senate Republicans are saying, no way we're going to let something like that pass at $600 threshold for withdrawals in an account annually. Annually, right? So that's right. Every bank account.
Oh, pretty much. If you have a job that pays more than $10 an hour and you work more than 20 hours a week, then that bank account will be surveilled.
Yeah. So, you know, during a reset bill that's, you know, got so much in there that we can barely understand as novel tyranny, this is the type of thing that just gets tucked right in.
I think some people got $10,000 in stimulus money last year. So, I mean, shit.
So it's the federal government able to watch everybody's spending habits all the time.
And they're already doing this, absolutely. I mean, it's not known, but what do you think the NSA is there for? What do you think they're doing? They're absolutely tracking every dime that I spend. They know every piece of ammunition I bought, all the stuff that I didn't do cash to cash, peer to peer, which is what you should do. But even I don't do everything that way. They have full absolute records of that. Not that they're going to use that against me right now, but they have it. Anything you've done online for your entire life is absolutely recorded and stored for the long term.
To include the Patriot Power Hour archive.
Well, yeah, we're trying to work the double edge of the sword, yeah.
So the voice recognition technology can come and hunt us down and find ways to ban us further, I guess.
They're like, they got to go back in time and take us down, man, like John Connor style.
I haven't heard from James if we've gotten struck on YouTube submissions, or is our show not even going to YouTube anymore?
It should be. I saw it on Twitter the other day. By the way, good plug. Go follow Prepper Broadcasting Network on Twitter, on YouTube, et cetera, or just go to prepperbroadcasting.com, bookmark the site, become a member, and follow all the social media there. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know if we've strayed into any boundaries that got us slammed. It happened, you know, last season in the summer. We talk of vaccines. It wasn't hard.
Yeah, well, good question. I figured they would have banned us by now. Not just us. I mean, a lot of hosts on here have said stuff that was quote-unquote worthy of being banned. by YouTube because that threshold's so low. You know, they banned Ron Paul for about a day, then they had to put him back there because he didn't do anything wrong. And enough people complained. But small organizations, you don't have thousands and thousands of people to back you up. Well, PBN, we got a larger and larger audience, so we may need you to help us out sometimes. But long story short, that's also why we host our own material. We don't leave it all on YouTube or Facebook or any of that stuff.
Exactly, exactly. We got the National Guard getting called out soon to bring you your groceries, and Bitcoin closing in, hovering near an all-time high tonight. In the final segment, we're going to get into a book called The Prepper's Guide to Surviving Pandemics, Bioterrorism, and Infectious Disease. Brand new book from William W. Forgy, medical doctor. Going to get into some of the things that I'm using this as a base of knowledge now, Ben.
Okay.
Can't wait to get into it and describe what I learned, which is a lot, especially about testing.
Perfect. Get not just talking points, but real knowledge. We're going to get into that on the final segment of Patriot Power Hour. PrepperBroadcasting.com. Don't forget. Check that out and listen to our ads. And we'll be right back with this book review on PPH.
Are you prepared to be the family doctor in a disaster or emergency? This is the Intrepid Commander, and I'm holding The Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy, MD. In this great book, you'll learn how to prepare for medical care off the grid. You'll learn about assessment and stabilization. You'll even deal with things like bioterrorism response, radiation, and how to build the off-grid medical kit at home. Look, 2020 taught us a lot about the limitations of our medical infrastructure in America. Get the Prepper's Medical Handbook today at Amazon.com. Again, that's the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, October 19th, 2021, final segment, then the Breaker Banksters. Find me on Twitter, at BanksterBreaker. Where can they find you, sir?
At Future Danger 6, number 6, Future Danger 6 on Twitter.
Sweet. All right. Well, you guys just heard the ad for the Prepper's Medical Handbook, but we have the newest edition from the same doctor, from the same author. Have at it, Future Dan. What are you holding, and what can you tell our audience?
Yeah, I got sent a copy, as did a few hosts on Prepper Broadcasting Network, of The Prepper's Guide to Surviving Pandemics, Bioterrorism, and Infectious Disease by William Forgy, MD. And it is copyright 2022. So this is an advanced copy, not for resale, not returnable. It's and I would like to review it, at least tell our audience what the value is of this book. I can't teach the biology and chemistry that this book can teach you in, you know, the few minutes we have left on this episode, but I want to hit, Ben, you know, some of the chapter titles to give you an idea of why picking this up book up when it's available, $20 right off of the back of this soft cover version, is well worth it.
All right.
As well worth it as the Prepper's Medical Guide, which we also reviewed on Patriot Power Hour last year. Chapter 1, just straight up survival guide, tells you what the book's about. Chapter 2, the minimal infectious dose, and it's compared to other types of diseases, what it takes to get into different populations to actually cause you to have a case of COVID, broken down very clearly. Chapter 3, what is the R-naught for SARS-CoV-2, and what are the implications? The R-naught relates to, again, the amount of disease that has to be present in individuals and populations to cause infections, and what makes this disease similar or different from other diseases like Ebola, right?
Okay.
Chapter 4 discusses herd immunity, honestly and straightforwardly. Chapter 5, what are the different tests for COVID-19? Which I actually found Chapter 5 incredibly valuable in understanding where this science was of detecting the presence of a respiratory flu in people at the start of the pandemic, and how with a little bit of reading of Chapter 5 of this book, you can understand what clearly almost no one else in our population, including the media, has chosen to understand previously. Basically, this book's describing the fact that the CBT test, the swab test in the nasal passage, right? It's going to miss and be false negative in the first 5 days in an incredibly disproportionate way. And then later, there's no way to know once you've had the COVID, best I can tell. These tests won't render a judgment on whether you continue to be infectious. So you false positives. You have presence of COVID virus in you. You have the germ, but you're not infectious anymore because you had a very mild case that you know. So this window of effectiveness of the CBT test is somewhere between 5 and 12 days, and before and after, all kinds of false results are implicit. There's apparently no better way to test for this. So Chapter 5, what are the different tests and how can you trust the results? Incredibly important reading. You will immediately be hundreds of times smarter than almost everybody you meet on these topics if you read this up to this point of this book.
Awesome, awesome. I will interject real quick and say I saw an article today. They're looking to do blood tests. That'll be the next level. That will be a little better than what you talked about. But I did not realize to what extent the current test had false positives and false negatives.
I think the history of how this disease out of China affected this country and the world is going to be written in the knowledge that the actors who, if not responsible for causing the disease to go around the world, certainly stood by and let it happen on purpose to the political and geopolitical benefits accrued, had full understanding of how the test's reliability is very narrow and oftentimes way wrong, and how that alone could bring about the panic and mistrust and just division that at least this country, and I know most in Europe and Australia, are also facing. Chapter 6 talks all about mutations of COVID-19.
Okay. That's huge these days. I want to learn more about that for sure.
Chapter 7 is a straight up talk about how dangerous this disease is. Chapter 8 talks about the types of vaccines, including mRNA. Chapter 9 it talks about negative tests or immunity passports and how social controls are now going to be, a very sober point of view. This is not a conspiracy-oriented book. It's a medical science book, right? The author makes it, easy for you to take the science and then draw your own conclusions, but he doesn't sugarcoat this, and he's talking at a level of sophistication, writing at a level of sophistication that, no CNN viewer ever gets, right? And, 5 more chapters. It goes right down to bioterrorism and a frank discussion on how this disease and how accusation of bioterrorism, what's known and what's unprovable at this point. Which on this show, we speculate past the point of the final chapter of this book, chapter 13, bioterrorism. But If you want a good baseline on the facts and knowledge, pick one up. Dr. Forgy has written a very contemporary and useful guide that really elevates a lot of, quote, the science, right? The science. Well, he's breaking it down where preppers can understand it. Highly recommended book.
Now, one thing you mentioned to me was that it does not really talk too much about treatments in there. Do you know why, and what do you do personally to look into that? I mean, we're running low on time, I suppose. It's a loaded question, but in your opinion, why does he not talk about treatments in there?
I don't know if there's enough data, but the book's silent on it. And all I know is when I went to two different emergency rooms and got diagnosed twice with COVID-19, I got offered nothing.
Really? That's not crazy.
I got offered to go home. My oxygen was too high.
Too high?
Yeah. I could breathe too well. Go home.
Man, COVID.
I was on the 7th and 12th days of a 14-day experience with COVID-19. Not the worst sickness I've ever had in any single one of the dimensions. Another part of this book is right up front, the common symptoms and the current data from the CDC of, you know, what percentage of COVID victims of certain age groups suffer a headache or, you know, chest congestion or et cetera.
Okay.
Interesting. It's factual. It's based upon the same data available to everybody. If you don't trust that data in the first place, then, well, let's just say this author does enough to use it as a reference point. And some of it's interesting insights. All the different symptoms, no one gets them all. But most people get most of them, and to what kind of impact they are is, you know, always the question. I had about 7 listed in this book, and I can tell you each and every one of those symptoms wasn't the worst I ever had of those symptoms. But the fact that on day one, my mouth tasted like metal for about 30 minutes, and then on day 14, I was still as sick as I was on day one, made that thing, in addition to completely losing my sense of smell and taste, unlike any disease I've ever suffered.
For a lot of reasons, it seems that way. Wow. Well, I'm going to have to convince you to leave that copy with me so I could read it. But when it does come out, I'm going to be sure to buy one at PrepperBroadcasting.com because you can guarantee it'll be for sale there. All right, guys, we got to get out of here. We will be back next week with Patriot Power Hour. Until then, stick with us. Next Generation coming up.
Thank you for listening to the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. Tune in tomorrow for another great show and visit us at PrepperBroadcasting.com.